It's a joy to be with you again for my final session in this conference, and we look back with joy and thanksgiving for these hours together. If you'll turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 10, the Tower of Babel and the origin of human languages. As the scene opens in this amazing chapter, one of the most difficult chapters in the book of Genesis, the Genesis flood has now ended. Noah and his sons, and of course his wife and his all his children, are now commanded by God to repopulate the world, to spread all over planet Earth. Now, the tragedy of this is, of course, they did not obey God. The only ones in the ark that obeyed the Lord were the animals, who did spread all over the world. But the people, for reasons we'll discuss tonight, were terrified at that prospect and refused to obey the Lord. Now, let's begin, please, with chapter 10, verse 1. Now, these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and sons were born to them after the flood. And you can see, friends, where we are now, in the mountains of Ararat, right up here. And what happened? Listen carefully. Verse number 2. The sons of Japheth were, and they're named, 14 nations that came from Japheth. And you come down to verse 5. From these, the coastlands of the nations were separated. What does that mean? Put that in your memory bank. Separated into their lands, everyone according to what? His language. What does that mean? I thought everybody in Noah's Ark spoke the same language. How can you have different languages? God says, make a note of that. That's how we study our Bible. You say, well, I don't understand this. Well, don't give up on it or misinterpret it. Just put it in your memory bank for further illumination as you study the rest of Scripture. The best commentary on any verse of the Bible is the rest of the Bible. Now watch carefully. Verse number 6. And the sons of Ham were, and their name, four of them. And of course, these descendants of Ham were included the worst enemies Israel ever had. Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, the Philistines came from Ham. But let's rush ahead here and look, please, at verse 20. Get your purple pencil out again. These are the sons of Ham according to their families, according to their what? Languages. That's the second time God says it. He's getting our attention. Now watch what's going to happen here. Are you ready? Verse 21. And also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber. And then his descendants are listed here. And we come down, please, to verse 31. These are the sons of Shem according to their families, according to their what? Languages. And these are the families of the sons of Noah according to their genealogies by their nations, and out of these the nations were separated. See that word again? Separated on the earth after the flood. 14 descendants of Japheth, 30 of Ham, 26 of Shem, 70 nations, many of which we've never heard of before. Don't know what they were like, where they were all located. But God says, the main thing you're to watch for is the languages and the separation. Now, friends, that's the background for an amazing statement in chapter 10, verse 25. Here's the key statement. It says, two sons were born to Eber. Now, this is one of the descendants of Shem. Now, watch carefully here, please. And the name of the one was Peleg. Now, wait a minute. Peleg. Why would a mother or dad ever name a child Peleg? That means division. Maybe call a child peace or happiness or something like that, but division? That's not the name they gave him. Listen to the next explanation of this. For in his days, the earth was divided, was Peleged. He experienced something that none of his ancestors had ever seen. The whole human race was divided. And you say, now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I trust God has our attention. Because in chapter 11, we have a flashback into chapter 10 to tell you how people spoke different languages and how they were separated. You see, it's just like Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 has God commanding Adam and Eve, you know, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and exercise dominion over the world. You say, well, where did Adam and Eve come from? You have to wait till chapter 2 to find out the details, you see, of how Adam was created first at the beginning of day 6 and Eve that same day at night. And he came from the ground and she came from his body, and all these additional details are a flashback into Genesis 1. Old Testament history is often like that. We have a historical event and then questions unanswered. And then later on, God says, here's what really happened. That's why Chronicles sheds light on kings and so forth in the Old Testament. That's the way the New Testament starts, with four accounts of Jesus. Matthew tells all kinds of things, but deliberately, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, leaves out some important things. Mark adds details. Luke adds more details. John adds even more things. And finally, you have a fourfold perspective on the career work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way the Bible tells history. Different perspectives to give you a full, in-depth picture and understanding. Now, let's begin with chapter 11 now, verse number 1. Here we go. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Well, of course, you expect people walking off the ark were all speaking the same language. Thank you, Lord. That's what we thought it had to be like when the flood ended. Well, then where did all the languages come from? Keep reading. Verse 2. And it came about as they journeyed east or southeast down into Mesopotamia, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Now, of course, you all recognize this, do you not? Right here. It's Mesopotamia, which means in Greek what? Between the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. A flat alluvial plain and a place where they could perhaps stay together for mutual protection, you see, and security. They were terrified at the prospect of being scattered around the world. They couldn't trust God to take care of them. That is a sad, sad footnote to post-flood humanity. Now, when they got down here to Mesopotamia, by the way, anybody ever heard of Iraq? That's it. The cradle of post-flood humanity between the rivers. Okay, now what did they do when they got down there? Here we go. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They couldn't find stone there. It was just a muddy plain. They'd have had to go way up in the mountains, you see, up here, to find stones. And the people who first read this from the pen of Moses by the Holy Spirit were wondering, well, why did our ancestors, see, the Jews first got this document when they came out of Egypt, down here. Why did our ancestors go to all the trouble of making stones? Now, of course, the Hebrews in Egypt knew how to do that. They were often forced to make stone, you remember, with straw or without straw or whatever. But Sinai Peninsula has billions of stones. Why did our ancestors do this? Answer. Are you ready? This is very complicated. Now, careful here. Verse number 4. They said, come, let us build for ourselves. Watch that word. Not for God, for us. Now you're already asking for divine judgment. I want this for me, me, me. I don't want God telling me what to do. I want him out of my life. I'm going to do my thing my way. Thank you. We're going to do it for ourselves. Do what? Well, let's build a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven.